Wednesday, February 11th, 2015. This is the Hockey Guys Podcast. Our first show in 9 months. Here's truly Hunter Crowther. My co-host Chris Shannon. How you doing today, bud?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing quite well. Pretty big day in the hockey world. I was thinking about our show today and what we were going to talk about, and when I woke up, it was handed to me on a platter, the Winnipeg Jets trading Evander Kane, Zach Bogosian, and a goaltending prospect in Jason Kasdorf, the Buffalo for Tyler Myers, Drew Stafford, Brennan Lemieux, and Joel Armia, and a first-round pick that'll be determined later. Pretty big day. What are your initial thoughts on the deal?
You know what? This trade totally caught me off guard. I totally thought Buffalo was going to be after him, but I didn't think Winnipeg was going to trade Kane this early before the deadline, let alone just at all trade him. I actually thought he may have stayed in Winnipeg because he's the franchise player you want. But I think they got enough for him, and it'll be interesting to see how this trade comes out in 5 years because it's too early to say what you think about it right now. But I don't know. It's hard to guess what we'll see. We'll see.
I think the big thing as like this little saga went on in the last week was it certainly appeared, at least even before this, before everything went down in the last week with missing the team meeting and not playing against Vancouver, you could tell that there was a lot of tension with Kane and just the Winnipeg market in general. So it seemed like a long time coming, but the fact that Jets GM Kevin Cheveldayoff was able to pull off a deal in a week and receive a return like Tyler Myers and Drew Stafford and two top prospects, it really is a good deal on Winnipeg's part. But at the same time, Buffalo gets Evander Kane, who, like we've talked about, is a definition of a power forward, at least in the modern NHL.
Exactly. And Zach Bogosian is amazing. I think he's truly underrated. I think he was injured for a lot of the season, the last couple seasons, and I think he's really a crucial part to that trade, and I think people are going to be surprised with his play.
I think the big thing, too, I remember Bogosian was drafted in 08, and that was draft. It was the Stamkos draft, but you had Doughty, Pietrangelo, Luke Shen, and ironically, the guy he was traded for, Tyler Myers, and Bogosian was just the guy who I think people have expected more out of him. He had 30 points in 2012, but he hasn't exactly been the player that some people are expecting, but he's still no doubt a top four defenseman. And all of a sudden now you've got, he's going to go to Buffalo in a situation where they're thin on D, and I think that'll give him a chance to get more ice time and explore what kind of player he is.
Yeah. And we have to remember that Kane and Bogosian, they started off their careers in Atlanta, which was a horrible team. And everyone's saying, oh, yeah, Kane's lucky that he got 30 goals. He'll never surpass that. I mean, the last couple of years, he's actually started to play against some great team with some great lineup players. But late before that, he's totally been out to dry with just a bad team in front of him and with him.
No, for sure. And I remember just watching Kane, too. I think for so long he's taken so much abuse, and I think almost the worst thing that could have happened to him was getting 30 goals as a 21-year-old, because you have nowhere to go but down. And you look at his numbers since then. In the lockout season, he had 17 goals, which is nothing to sneeze at. Last year, in only 63 games, he had 19. This year, he struggled because he had injuries, but he still is a dominant player. And even though the puck hasn't been going in, you know that it's in there somehow. You don't just score 30 goals on, like what you said, a terrible Atlanta/Winnipeg mix. He got those 30 in Winnipeg's first year. And, you know, he was playing with Blake Wheeler. And the team, like, I'm just rambling right now, but you can tell that Evander Kane, like, now that he's in Buffalo, it's a fresh situation. He's going to have the rest of the season to recover. I think next year is going to be a big year for him because you know Buffalo's going to get one of those top picks in either and either Eichel or McDavid. So I think that, you know, at least in the long term, you got to think that he'll evolve into the player that people expect him to be.
He's 23 years old. I mean, he's been in the league for 5 years, and he's only 23. It just, we need to give him time. He's a little immature, but any teenager with $5 million is going to be going crazy.
I love that excuse that I love when people call him immature. Like, no 23-year-old in the history of hockey or in the history of anything has been immature. Like, I think it almost sucks that guys like Jonathan Toews exist because now everyone wants Captain Serious. But the real reality is that it's not going to happen. Not every guy is going to be like that. So you just got to open with the whatever.
And it's too bland and boring. That's why PK Subban is like should be the market face of the NHL. And it's I don't want to get into rambling about how PK didn't make the All-Star game, but just a guy like that, his personality, it's perfect. I mean, he's a perfect stud for the NHL, and his personality is great. He's happy, and just his output on the game is awesome. And he's a good leader.
No, for sure. And I remember, too, like, when he was playing in the World Juniors, and people just kept bringing up his maturity and how mature Vander Kane is, and that this is going to be the future leader of the Thrashers turned Jets, and, you know, this is the future of hockey. And it just so easily, especially the mainstream media, they just tore the kid apart. And he would do things like, the money, the stacks of cash and the photos and the one stack of cash as a pretend phone and – being a kid who has millions of dollars, and all of a sudden things like the typical leadership narrative got called into question, and it just gets so frustrating to a point where you don't even criticize Blair anymore. You just feel bad for him.
And exactly. If you look on Instagram with NFL players, NBA players, it happens. Like, this happens all the time. Like, just the attitude of anyone. And it's everyone just wants to show out their emotions. And with Evander Kane actually getting scrutinized for taking pictures of money and just messages, I don't think is right. And I think it's good that he's having a new start. I'm excited to see what he does. And I hope he proves everyone wrong. And he just comes out there next year, him and Connor McDavid, 50-goal season, make the playoffs, Brian Gionta as a leader, Josh Georges as a stud defenseman with Zach Bogosian. I just called Josh George is a stud. I kind of regret that. But still, I'm excited to see what these guys can do.
Josh George is a stud. Tweets from 2011.
Yeah, I know. That was bad. But, I mean, still, he's a solid defenseman, you know, nice 4 or 5 guy out there.
Do you think now with Evander being gone, and I'll give him credit, like, for a trade where the guy you had to get rid of is injured, so he's done for the year, you really could only make this trade with a team that was pretty much tanking, and that's exactly what Buffalo was. And they got a good return. You got Tyler Myers and Drew Stafford. And, you know, Drew's struggled in the last few years, but honestly, he's a very good player. And there's no doubt in my mind that he can go into Winnipeg and get some prime minutes. Like, I don't see why he can't come in and be a solid contributor for the Jets.
Yeah, exactly. Again, he's been on a bad team in Buffalo. He's a good power forward. And the problem in Winnipeg was that Dustin Byfuglien was playing a forward role when Evander Kane was injured. And I'm not taking that away from him. He's an amazing player. But defense is the place he should be. And finally, they got that nice Drew Stafford on the top six. I mean, Winnipeg's a scary team in the playoffs. I would not want to be against them. They're big. They've got great defense. Goaltending. Hutchinson, we'll see how he does. I mean, he's shown moments of glory and then other moments that it's just like, oh my God, what's happening? But it's finally a good time in Winnipeg. I mean, to be a fan, you finally got a good team.
Not to mention too, if you're playing the Jets in the playoffs, that has to be one of the most intimidating home environments in the NHL. Before you go there, Chris, joining us on the line right now is Tim Bonner. He's the manager of Arctic Ice Hockey, which is the Winnipeg Jets chapter of SB Nation. Tim, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, quite well. This trade was no surprise that Evander was going to get dealt, but the way it happened, it sort of knocked everyone on their ass. Just right now, what are your initial thoughts? Well, not initial, but what are your thoughts on the deal?
Oh, gosh, it was a wild few minutes there. I mean, I was trying to keep track of everything as it was happening, and then just seeing McKenzie and Dreger go at it with all this updated information, we've never had a trade like that before. That's the first big trade, or I guess the first player-for-player trade for the Jets under Kevin Cheveldayoff. It was shocking, and then to see that Bogosian was involved, it was even more shocking. And then seeing, yeah, it was a wild morning. I think most people were completely shocked. that was before anyone could even react. It was just trying to grasp of what just happened.
Hey, Tim, Chris here. I was just wondering, were you surprised that Evander Kane was traded before the deadline and before the summer? I mean, with an injured player, it's not normal for that to happen.
Yeah, it definitely isn't normal, but the TSN talking heads started talking about it and said it was a real option. And when they started mentioning, like Buffalo, I guess, was actually mentioned ahead of time as a possible destination, and the amount of chatter, it sounded like it was a real possibility. You never know, because rumors are rumors. They go around like crazy, but it was still a surprise, but not as surprising, I guess, as it could have been, because there were warnings.
Tim, my question, a lot was made about Kane's relationship with the media, and one thing that I noticed, at least from the outside, was that even though the mainstream media was very critical of him, it seemed like the blogosphere and writers such as yourself, not so much critical, but they always held Kane in a higher opinion. They always thought that he could have been used more efficiently. He could have been a much more productive player. What were the blogosphere's thoughts of Kane, not only in his time in Winnipeg, but now that he's a Buffalo Sabre?
I guess in general, at Arctic Ice Hockey, a lot of us laughed about how Kane's production was constantly held to what I thought were bizarre standards. I mean, if you just look at simple numbers, 5-on-5 production per minute, things of that nature, Kane has, in his entire time with the Jets, been one of their best players. He's been, up until this year, quite easily within their four best forwards. There's not really any debate about it. Nobody was else outscoring him. He was scoring goals per minute at, I'd say, I think it was top 30 in the NHL at 5-on-5. When you've got a player that's actually scoring that much and isn't getting a whole bunch of extra power play time to boost those numbers further, I never understood why people were complaining, to be honest. I mean, even this year, in what's considered to be a down year, he was, I guess at the time of his injury, he was fourth on the team among forwards in ice time per game, and he was fifth in scoring per minute. So, I mean, that's pretty good production, and I think that'll continue no matter where he goes. One of the things he's proven is he can sustain that kind of production regardless of who his line mates are. Doesn't matter if it's Olli Jokinen, who's being healthy scratched in Nashville, or if it's Alex Burmistrov, who's over in the KHL right now. It doesn't matter who his center is. He's going to give you a good 20-plus, 20 to 30 goals, and he'll give you probably a good 50 points if he's healthy, at least, and that's any line. So that's what I've always thought about him.
What are your expectations for this team this year after this huge blockbuster deal? I mean, they got some great pieces, but also they got some younger pieces. What do you think, and what would you grade Cheveldayoff's first trade with a player?
That's so hard for me to handicap. I like Tyler Myers. I like some things about him. Other things, not so much. Same goes for Zach Bogosian. But a lot of what's kind of weird surrounding this trade is a lot of people are just talking about Zach Bogosian like he's an afterthought. But he spent most of this season on the top defensive pair. Him and Tobias Enstrom have been together for most of the year, when he's been healthy anyway. And they've done a pretty good job facing to the toughest opposition the opponents have to offer. Obviously, with Dustin Byfuglien as another option, and in my opinion, a better option, it's not going to ride or die on that. But you're taking a guy that has been on the top pair most of the year and you're replacing him with Tyler Myers, and I don't know how Tyler Myers will fit in. So my expectations haven't really changed, but I'm just kind of wait and see how things go before I get all, I guess, super excited about the ad for this year.
Yeah.
Tim, last question, and then we'll let you go. Thank you for joining us today. Do you think that sorry, I completely just lost my notes. Okay. Is this the type of return that you were expecting? Were you thinking more in terms of prospects, or is this a trade that you look at and you go, you know what, Tyler Myers is a good defenseman. Drew Stafford could be a big contributor in the playoffs. Like, how do you see this trade working out short-term and long-term?
Short-term, I guess short-term or long-term, I don't really see anything bad about it. I mentioned earlier, I have a hard time handicapping who's better or worse or who will be better or worse between Myers and Bogosian. They bring different things to the table, and I'm not sure that it, and move other than lateral. So if I think of it that way, and a lot of people here are, then you're looking at Evander Kane for Drew Stafford, a first-round pick, and two solid prospects. That's not a bad return. If that's what you consider the package to be, then long-term, that's about as much as anyone could have expected for Kane, and it's going to be about whether or not those prospects develop. Long-term, I think it's just going to be wait and see.
Yeah. No, for sure. Awesome. All right. Thank you for coming on the show today. You can follow Tim at Arctic Ice Hockey. Again, thank you very much for coming on, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
That is Tim Bonner of Arctic Ice Hockey. You can follow them, the Winnipeg Jets chapter of SB Nation. They got good stuff there. Any writer who's associated with SB Nation, notably the guys from Pension Plan Puppets or Eyes on the Prize, you know, they're smart guys. They know what they're talking about. So give them a chance. Joining us on the line right now is a man who works for Yahoo Hockey and one of the guys who I've enjoyed knowing over the, I guess I've only known him for a few months now, but it's good to talk to him right now, is Nate Seeger. Nate, how's it going today, man?
Good, Hunter. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming on. How's vacation so far?
Pretty dull. Pretty dull.
Yeah. Exciting times. Are you still in Ottawa right now?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
No, nice. So let's get into this trade today. Obviously, a lot is made about Kane and Bogosian and Myers and Stafford, but the big one for me that I noticed was Brendan Lemieux. Who I've been following closely this year, 35 goals in 46 games for Barrie. You know, he was the first pick in the second round last year. How has he developed this season?
This year, the skating's he's made big strides with that, and I think obviously he's, you know, the goal total he just ran off, attests. You know, he's come a long way with just being able to have better puck skills, just a finer, much finer touch. He's really sort of taken on a bit of a leadership role in Barrie. They've got a nice, sort of core group there with him and, Joseph Blandisi, who just signed with the New Jersey Devils, after battling injuries for the last couple seasons. And, they just got a really good core group there. And I honestly think they're a dark horse to maybe win their conference in the OHL if, certain things break a certain way. And obviously the Jets always seem to sort of have that pipeline into the Colts. They drafted Mark Scheifele out of there. Dale Hawerchuk coaches there, so there's an obvious connection. And, so I think, we'll see how it all fits together in the big picture of that trade, but it could have really pay off in the long run for in the Jets organization.
Hey Nate, Chris over here, and I was just
wondering,
Brendan Lemieux, he looking at his stats, I don't know much about him, but he looks like a stud, and the way he plays, it's how a normal hockey player should play. How long do you think until he makes the NHL?
He's still a ways away. This is his 18 year. I would expect him to be back in Barrie next year. Probably wear the C there. You know, obviously it depends on what type of team the Colts have. You know, if he's there the whole season. And probably it looks like the Jets like to be patient with guys. I would think at least a good one solid season in the AHL, and then maybe by the time he's 21, that's when he'd probably be ready. But I wouldn't be surprised if he made it up for NHL games, but during his first pro season. But I think in terms of being reasonably expecting him to be ready to be a full time NHLer, I think he'd be right along with where the curve seems to be, which is for guys to make it up when they're 21 or 22.
Mm-hmm. Switching over to the CHL right now, Nate. Are the Oshawa Generals the best team in the CHL right now?
I don't even know if they're the best team in the OHL, to be honest. One thing that keeps coming back to me is like they should be. They're already a pretty potent team, but they almost should be even more for the amount of ability that they have. I really think in the OHL, the best team right now is the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, especially after the moves they made. They went out and got Anthony D'Angelo and Nick Ritchie and Justin Bailey and Connor Boland, who's a solid overage defenseman. If they get the goaltending, that's sort of the big X factor with them. They've got Brandon Halvorsen, who's drafted because he's got a high ceiling, but he's still an 18-year-old. I think they could be the best, the team that represents the OHL, but Oshawa on many nights, yeah, they can be the best team, but they're really intriguing. I mean, sometimes they almost seem to get up for the top teams, but they've got more losses this year against teams that are like, I guess, mid pack and lower in their own conference, like the Kingstons and Peterboroughs of the world, have been giving them fits. And they're an interesting team, but yeah, they're right in the conversation with anybody. But I honestly think that the Sioux might be the best team in the OHL for sure. And nationally, it's a tough call. I mean, Brandon and Kelowna have kind of, table tennis it back, whack it back and forth over who's the best team in the WHL, from what I can tell.
So Nate, when McCarron was drafted with the Montreal Canadiens in 2013, everyone in the Montreal Canadiens organization was ecstatic because we got a 6'5" guy, and we were used to the Brian Giontas and David Desharnais of 5'7". But last year he had an okay year, and this year he started off well, and sadly he didn't make the U.S. World Junior team, but he was traded to Oshawa. And do you think that he will become an NHL player, because it's been pretty inconsistent, even though he's still a young guy?
I think so. It's obviously going to take time with him, and I guess the question is, where's the ceiling at? I mean, with his size, I think he'll always be able to hold down a spot somewhere. But I mean, for where they drafted him, for what they expected from him, I think they'd expect him to, at least be a top nine guy who can score, 15 to 20 goals a season. I wasn't really surprised that he got off to a slow start in the OHL the first year. It often takes a year to adjust after coming from the National Team Development Program, even as good as the coaching is there. I think it is more geared for someone to go right from there to college hockey. As strange as it sounds, you got to move into the OHL. It's a little bit different, and we've seen guys, especially bigger guys, struggle when they make the jump over at 18 years old.
Yeah, everyone wants this guy to be the next Lucic. I don't know if that's going to happen.
That's why guys like Lucic are so rare. But I don't know. I think that might. I mean, the thing is with the big guys like that. People. I think they tend to project a little too much from them, and often like guys who are that physically mature at 18 are rare. That's sometimes why they get overdrafted. For every Tom Wilson is probably an example of someone who's worked out, but for every guy like that, there's many more who don't, and I think we're seeing that a little with this year's draft, and how high Lawson Crouse is on all the tables. Everyone's like, oh, look, he's so ready for the NHL. But I'm like, yeah, but that's great, but you're not. I mean, you're looking for the guy who can be a 10 or 15, 12 year player for your franchise. Not someone to just step right in and be the 13th forward or whatever.
Mm-hmm. last question for me, and then we'll let you go, Nate. And thanks for coming on today. A lot of people have made this draft the McEichel sweepstakes. It's McDavid and Eichel. But there's a lot of guys out there who are really good. Hannafin, Mitch Marner out of London, Dylan Strome. If you had to say who would be your third overall pick, who do you think has separated themselves and at least somewhat put themselves in the conversation with McDavid and Eichel?
Well, since there's, well, to be honest, there's no one in the conversation with McDavid, as far as I'm concerned. You know, the TSN and the NHL writers could try to make it a two-horse race, but it's been a one-horse race, as far as I'm concerned. And then after that, I don't know if there's anyone in the conversation with Eichel. Once you get past the can't-miss forwards at the top of the draft, that's when you start being like, okay, you know, you're less likely to whiff with a defenseman. And I mean, Hannafin, I've only got to see him at the World Junior, which isn't the greatest showcase to see a 17-year-old defenseman because they're playing guys 2 years older. But I think he's right in that conversation, number three. But you know, Strome, I mean, if you're on some alternate plane where he's on a team and he isn't, you know, quote unquote overshadowed by McDavid, I mean, I still think there'd be a lot of buzz around him. I mean, guys with, you know, centers who have that kind of reach and, you know, quickness and just, you know, vision to see the ice don't come along too often. And obviously, you know, Krause is up in all the draft rankings just because of how mature he is and how effective he was as a role player for Canada in the World Junior. So yeah, there's a lot of quality at the top of this draft. And I still think Travis Konecny in Ottawa, I got to pump the kid that I see play the most. I mean, I know his central scouting ranking somewhere down around 26th, but I mean, that's crazy. Is when, you know, Robbie Fabry or Jeff Skinner were way down. I mean, yeah, he's not the tallest kid in the world, but I mean, he plays so hard and he's got so much skill. I still think he's going to be a very high pick.
No doubt about that. Nate, thank you for coming on our first show back in a while. It's always good to talk junior hockey with you, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your vacation, man.
Anytime. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Hunter.
See ya.
That is Nate Seeger of Yahoo Sports. Give him a follow at NateBuzzTheNet. I believe that's it. If it's not, then I'm an idiot. I'm telling you, Nate is one of these – I'm serious when I say this. Nate is arguably one of the smartest minds in junior hockey. He's there at all the games. I met him last May at the Memorial. I really got to give him credit. Follow him at NateBuzzTheNet. One of the smarter minds in junior hockey, no doubt. Chris, we got about a minute 10 left. Any final thoughts?
You know, I think just want to go back to that Evander Kane trade because that's the news of today. If I had to go with a winner, I would go with Buffalo because those prospects we don't know about too much yet, and we'll see what happens. But right now the winner is Buffalo. We'll see what it is in the next couple of years. But I'm excited to watch this Buffalo Sabres team next year. I mean, Connor McDavid and Evander Kane together. I mean, I don't even know. It's going to be amazing. What do you think, man?
I like the trade, man. I think both teams got something real nice out of it. What I'll argue for Winnipeg, though, is I think to be able to give up a player that essentially was done with your franchise and get someone who was a Rookie of the Year, who was one of the considered to be a future elite NHL defenseman, and while he's struggled a little bit lately, I think it's still there. So I think that it was a great deal for both teams. We got to cut you off now. Thank you everyone for tuning into the Hockey Podcast. We're hoping to be on a little more regularly, so you know what? Tune in now and we'll talk to you later. See ya.